Why can't you just let kids be kids? Does everything really need a deeper meaning? Join me for this episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms Teaching Kids the True Meaning of the Holidays.
Felice Gerwitz is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life, because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey everyone and welcome. Felice Gerwitz here with another episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. Today I'm going to be talking about teaching your kids the true meaning of the holidays. So why can't you just let your kids be kids? And does everything really need a deeper meaning? Well, I believe the answer is a resounding yes, or I'd be done with this podcast, right? So I'm going to share with you just a little bit about how we can do that. And I am excited to be sharing with you our continuing sponsor, and that is Sony Pictures. Sony Pictures Animation, along with the firm's films, has been our sponsor for the movie The Star. You can find The Star movie at the local theaters now as we're recording, and then, of course, in the future on digital and also on a DVD that you can purchase. And this is a story that is focused on the nativity in a humorous way with the barnyard animals. But I think your kids will enjoy it. We have a link to a movie trailer that you can check out to see if it's something your kids want to view. Well, there are so many holidays that come to mind when I think about the holidays, and that's Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter. And it doesn't diminish the beauty of the event. You know, with Thanksgiving and Easter, it's a little bit more cut and dry. And there are some things that I'm going to share with you on a practical level of, you know, what I did, as well as some things that I'm going to recommend that you try to do with your children. And of course, the focus here is going to be Christmas, because I think the difference between, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter, the main holidays that we, share with our friends and family, and of course our children, is that, Christmas and Easter both revolve around an event in the life of Jesus Christ: Christmas, his birth; Easter, his resurrection. And then Thanksgiving is thrown in there. And, you know, we remember that with, you know, the pilgrims and the Indians and the first Thanksgiving that was celebrated on American soil, which at the time, you know, was an uncolonized place. But it also lends itself perfectly for the children to teach them a lot about values and being thankful. And I did a podcast on encouraging kids to be thankful, and there's a link on the show notes. You can find the show notes on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, episode 234, Teaching Kids the True Meaning of the Holidays. Okay, so what is the big difference here? Well, in Christmas time, kids are receiving presents. And so that is the reason I really want to focus on Christmas, because that is the time that it really takes away from, you know, it can take away from the main reason that we celebrate it. People think, you know, religion means taking all the fun away, but having faith truthfully adds wonder and awe. It takes something that could encourage kids to be greedy and turns it into something that brings out the best in people: love, relationships, spending time, generosity, and so much more. With Thanksgiving, you know, we celebrate mostly with food, and the same thing with Easter. I mean, Easter's all about the candy, right? Or tends to be. And Thanksgiving's all about the food. You know, what are we eating? Are we having turkey and ham? You know, some of the traditional things. Are we having a roast? Are we having pumpkin pie and anything pumpkin, right? But and then Easter also is about the food mostly. You know, some people serve lamb. I don't, but a lot of people do. So Easter is more of the, you know, ham and the roast and potatoes and all of the fixings, right? And also, of course, the dessert. So those two events, you know, other than the kids maybe getting an Easter basket or, you know, that kind of thing. But other than those two things, it really is more about the celebration and the feast and the eating than it is about what is happening. And so with Thanksgiving, you know, it's amazing because before Thanksgiving even comes around the corner, Christmas is creeping in with the decorations, or the secular Christmas, I should say. And so you can go to the stores and see, you know, the trees and the lights and things like that with, you know, Thanksgiving weeks away. And it really is hard to teach the true meaning of these events with all of the things that we're surrounded with. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast, because as we're celebrating, we want to remind our children, big and small, you know, about the true meaning. So how do you teach children the true meaning of Christmas when all around them there's colorful decorations that are flashing for their attention? Well, we focused on the real reason for the season a lot. And one of the ways that I did this, and no matter what the holiday is through having the children be involved. That was very important to me. I am not a perfectionist, so if you're listening and you are a perfectionist, it may be a little bit harder for you than it was for me. Things didn't have to be perfect, and I always asked my children when they were involved in helping if it was okay if I helped them to, you know, adjust something, or, you know, basically parents, I was fixing it, but I let them, you know, give me permission, yes or no, to be able to do that. So that was kind of important. The other was getting them involved in giving. So whether it was, you know, giving to others, you know, at Christmas time at our church, we have an angel tree. And that has, you know, the first name, and there's a number on it, and there's a gift suggestion. So we can purchase a gift for others. And I always had my children select a child that was close to their age. And so, you know, it's something to budget for. It is also something to encourage your children to help pitch in for financially, as well as helping to purchase and wrap the gift to bring back to church. That's normally done very early in the year. So through the years, we know some of the items that are requested. And so we are kind of on the lookout for those things throughout the year. So you're not stuck paying full price for something, because a lot of times it's hard to find sales or even ordering stuff online. But it's important for us to give back and to teach our children to do that. And for us, that's a wonderful tradition. I know of another family that adopted an entire family, and that's one of the options. And not only that, they asked permission from the organizers if they could contact this family and if they could meet them directly. And they talked about what a wonderful opportunity it was for their children to actually go and see someone in need. And this family became a lifelong family. It was a family that they involved in their lives on a different level, whereas before they never knew these people. You know, maybe saw them at church at a distance, but we have a very large church population, so it's really easy to get lost in the shuffle. But this was something that they were able to take a one-time thing, like a Christmas gift, and really turn it into a relational thing that their children really benefited from. It was really lovely, you know, how the whole thing transpired. And I wish I could actually interview her for the show, because, you know, it really touched me when she told the story. And so, You know, there are so many different things you can do. Sometimes it doesn't turn out as well. People would rather retain their anonymity, and we can all understand that. Sometimes people feel embarrassed. But, you know, as loving Christians, we should make people feel comfortable as we possibly can. And, you know, there's the Thomas Aquinas saying, but by the grace of God, there go I. So another reason to be thankful. And so, you know, as I'm sharing with you, you know, maybe this is causing you to get some ideas or jot some ideas down. And you can, again, find the show notes on the website at Vintage Homeschool Moms, episode 234. And if you have an idea, please share them with me. I really appreciate it. And if you're enjoying the show, please share it with others. We're going to take a really quick commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to share with you some other things that will really help put the true meaning of the holidays into perspective. We'll be right back.
Affirm Films and Sony Pictures Animation present The Star, the fully animated story of the first Christmas told through a whole new set of eyes. Bo the donkey and his stable of animal friends follow the star to become some unlikely heroes.
That light, that's the star.
This is where it's been leading me.
What's his name?
His name is Jesus.
The Star, now playing. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested. More information is available at thestarmovie.com.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome back. Felice Gerwitz with episode 234, Teaching Kids the True Meaning of the Holidays. And I'm going to give you some practical ways that we established family traditions in just a minute. But before I do, I wanted to talk to you about volunteering. This is a really important thing for our children. You know, if we talk about doing great deeds and don't actually act on them, it's really difficult. In our town, there are so many different ways that we can volunteer. And one story I want to share with you is, again, another friend of mine. And this was my co-author in the Creation series. I wrote a set of books, creation science-based books, actually, with a lady by the name of Jill Whitlock. And you can find those at mediaangels.com. And one of the things that Jill did, and this was, you know, after she... you know, really struggled with the fact that she wanted to teach her children the idea of giving back, that she would go and volunteer at soup kitchens at Thanksgiving. And that was such a blessing, she said, for her and her family. And I think she did this years later after the kids were grown up. And that's such a wonderful thing to give back. It's for you know, it's in giving that we receive, right? And that was a wonderful example for us. But the next thing I want to talk to you about is establishing family traditions. And that is different ways that you can do this to really bring home the fact that Christ came for us, right? He came as a baby. He came as an infant, as a helpless infant. And again, it's just like just thinking about that is mind-boggling, right? And so we want to capture the essence of what God did for us in the only way that we can. And that is through our celebrations and the ways that we can teach our children. So for our family, we have done this for years. We have an Advent wreath. And in fact, the center of this Advent wreath was actually created by my son when he was about 4 or 5. And it's made out of hay, and it's not very beautiful. But what we did through the years is we embellished upon that. But the fact that he made it at church, you know, during a little event that they had there, they had us all come and we all made Advent wreaths. And it was really a fun project as a family that we did. But we wanted to be able to use what he created, whether or not it matched the decor or anything else. And through the years, you know, he helped me embellish it, and he's my number 3 child and probably one of the most sensitive of my kids. And I love that my wreath now, which is gorgeous, and we've embellished upon it through the years, still has as the center that hay wreath that he made. And so what is an Advent wreath? It has 5 candles, or there's four that go on the wreath, and then the one candle that is lit on Christmas morning. So there's three candles that are purple and one that is pink. And we also are going to be giving away this Advent wreath activity that I have. I actually created it. And here I am sharing this with you. I'm not even sure if it's for sale on my website. I believe it is. You can go to mediaangels.com or you can email me at felice@mediaangels.com if you do not find it there. And I know that I've given it away from time to time because it's really special. And I'll share that in a minute, this other thing that we do with that. But anyway, you can look it up online, but there's three purple candles that actually purple resembles or represents kingly attire, right? If you study about the color purple, and I'm not going to go into all that right now. So it's a sorrowful time leading up to the birth of Jesus at Christmas time, which none of us, you know, realizes. I mean, you know, during Easter we have Lent, and we can, you know, celebrate up to the 40 days. That is, you know, we know that that's a somber time because it's going to be dealing with Good Friday and the death of Jesus and then his resurrection on Easter Sunday. But with Advent, we think, oh my gosh, it's a joyful time. It's time to bake cookies and buy presents and decorate our house. So we always think of it as joyful, but those candles remind us that this is a somber time in that it is the coming of the child Jesus, but what came with that was, you know, the whole, you know, nativity event, you know, them having to escape, Joseph and Mary taking baby Jesus, escaping into Egypt, and then coming back, and the death of so many, we call them the holy innocents that were murdered when Herod was looking for Jesus. So, you know, while it is a joyous occasion, we want to be reminded. And so we light the purple candles, and then that the fourth candle is a pink one, which is the anticipation, right, of the coming of the birth of Christ. And each night we read a scripture verse, there's a reflection, and it's just a beautiful time. And then we wait and go around the family, each person taking a time to share what they are thankful for. And it really, even though my kids are older and I have young adults in the house, we still do it to this day. The Advent wreath activity, it's not really a wreath, but what I did was I came up with an Advent calendar, and that's what I was telling you about that is available. It's something I created, and I believe it's available on my website. And if not, I'll get my admin to put that up. But it's a calendar that I created for my children, and each day I wrote a scripture verse on one side, and on the back I wrote something for them. I just wrote something simple like, I love you, or the next day I wrote, I am grateful for you, or the next day I wrote, you know, thank you for the blessing you are in my life. Just different little things, and my kids kept that up all year long. And so it was really a beautiful thing. It was difficult to keep up with three children that I was doing this for. So I had all the same scripture verses that I wrote on each of the days leading up to Christmas, but then they could put it in the little pockets. And I gave them their little message underneath their plates at dinner time. So that worked out really well. And also bringing to heart the real meaning of Christmas, and that is being thankful that the Lord came to save us, but also that he gave us the ability to be a family and to be thankful for what we have. Other people have done things like this. I never have, but a birthday party for Jesus. And I have two children that were born on Christmas Eve. Yes, I know, right? Tell God your plans is always a fun one because that never seems to work out for me, which is why I try to let go and let God. So we have two birthday parties before Christmas, but, you know, people have done that, had a birthday cake for Jesus on Christmas Day. Another activity that we have done is we have taken an empty manger and we recorded their, you know, air quotes here, good deeds, so it's straw. And then on Christmas Day, baby Jesus is going to be filled in a manger full of hay, right? We don't want baby Jesus filled in an, or laid in a manger that does not have hay. So that really encouraged the children. And it wasn't anything that they could do. I think when they got a little bit older, I allowed them to put in a piece of hay if they had, you know, specifically done something. But most of it was hay that I put in there for catching them doing something good. Or being helpful or, you know, so forth. You can, getting school done for the day. You got a piece of hay. Attending midnight mass, there's something about that that really is, brings home memories of me as a kid. As I got married and my family has grown, I have not attended midnight mass, and our specific church does not have it. But if you have ever attended that celebration, whether or not you are Catholic, it is such a wonderful time. It's just like attending Easter Mass the day before, and it's a beautiful Mass if you attend, because there are readings you go through time. You actually start in the book of Genesis, and there are so many beautiful readings. And we walk in, the church is dark, and you are given a candle, and that is not lit until, you know, before the priest processes down. Anyway, it's a beautiful, if you've ever attended an Easter Vigil Mass, you should, because, again, it's a lot of the solemnity. And we are human. We love the sights and smells and bells, right? But we also need to be, not just chuck out the baby with the bathwater and just say, oh, it's just, you know, a bunch of symbolic nonsense, because it's a way for us to show our children that, you know, through whatever traditions you come up with as a family, that we are celebrating together, that we are making our focus the Lord, Jesus Christ, and not all of these other things. Yes, we love to exchange presents. Yes, we love to put up decorations. But we don't have to, you know, completely ban decorations or go the other end and just overly give. There can be a balance, and that's important. Another is to allow the children, where I was talking about it earlier, getting them involved. But my kids always help set up the decorations, and it's fun to see how the kids through the years, as my kids have gotten older, you know, certain ones love to do certain things. Like I have one child that I have two different nativity sets and they're huge. And so they take up a lot of space, but one goes in one room and one in the other. And I have kids who fight over putting that up. I have one child who likes to decorate the stairs going up with the garland and the lights. And I like to decorate the mantle. So there are different things that we like to do. One child likes to put on the lights, but no ornaments. Other children like to help put up the ornaments. And of course, through the years, we made a ton of Christmas ornaments, which is another fun activity to do. And especially, that's one of my gift-giving ideas that I'm going to give in another broadcast. And that is, you know, through the years, we have ornaments that the children have made with the photo of themselves. And that is so much fun when I put up their baby pictures on the tree, you know, the kids love it. Other people have given ornaments to their kids every year. So when their kids leave home someday, they take their ornaments with them. Another fun tradition. And then, of course, the obvious, which is read the Christmas account from the Bible. And you can do that, leading up through the nights before Christmas. We do that with our Advent wreath. And again, it's a wonderful family tradition. And then there always is the talk about Santa. So how do you feel about Santa? And each family has to make their own decision. Here are some things to think about, and that is eventually your kid is going to learn that Santa's not real. And how are you going to go about telling your child this? And that's something to consider. So I'm not saying don't tell your kids that there is a Santa, or do tell your kids that there is a Santa. You have to decide as a family. But I'm going to share with you that as a child, and I don't even think I'm overly sensitive. Maybe I am, and I just don't think that I am. And I think because I'm an author, and authors have to have a tough skin because people critique their work all the time. And so I'm usually okay with that, especially when we're in the draft. Not so much when the book's in print. But when we're in the draft stages, you know, I've got a lot of critique coming in and we have to make a lot of changes. But anyway, the fact about sensitivity, my parents were very religious, you know, Italian, Catholic, and they embraced the American tradition of Santa. And to this day, that is the only lie that my parents told me that I really knew about. And not telling me about Santa was a huge shock, and it really shook my trust in them. And it really was a difficult time for me when, you know, someone told me at school, which typically happens, that, you know, there is no Santa, and you go home and you confront your parents, and of course they tell you, you know, either that there is or there isn't, depending on how old you are, right? And for my brothers, it wasn't a big deal. You know, I've asked them, and they're quite a bit, 7 and 8 years younger than I am, and neither one of them said it was a traumatic experience. So I think it really depends on your child. But this experience was instrumental in my deciding, along with my husband, that we were going to tell our children the truth about Santa. And I'm happy that we did, because it kept the real focus on Jesus. And when we talked about Santa, it was as a mythological figure, or we talked about Saint Nicholas and how that, you know, that giving of the tradition of Saint Nicholas. And again, you can research that, or I'll tell you a little bit about it in a minute. But it was, you know, more of a cultural thing, for us not to do it. And so, you know, we talked about St. Nicholas, and his feast day is on December 6th. And because I have a son named Nicholas, we celebrate feast days in my house. And that was one of the things that we celebrated. And, you know, St. Nicholas Day is really big in Europe, and it honors the original Santa Claus, quote unquote. St. Nick has different traditions, and you can select, you know, the ones you want to celebrate if you want to celebrate St. Nicholas Day. We celebrated it with food whenever my children celebrate a feast day. And I have a Michael, an Anne, and a Nicholas, a Christina, which obviously is Christmas, and a Neil. And so they were a little bit more difficult to celebrate. So I really did this with the youngest three. But we didn't do the, you know, leave gifts inside of shoes or have the kids decorate their own shoebox for St. Nicholas gifts. But we did celebrate it with food. And so I would make, you know, my son's favorite food and favorite dessert, and his aunt always sent him a St. Nicholas gift, which was really fun for him. Whatever you decide, you know, make these decisions as a family, you know, make this decision with your husband, or your kids, and, you know, let it be a time of celebration. There are other cultures and traditions that people celebrate, such as New Year's Day, the Feast of the Epiphany, and, you know, as my kids call them, the Three Wise Guys. But that was, you know, another thing, you know, instead of having it be this, excuse me, you know, great day of, you know, more eating, it was a day that we went to church, attended church, and also could focus on that. And also, just because, you know, we're Christians and Catholic didn't mean that we didn't know what Hanukkah was or the Festival of Lights. And one of the main reasons is we grew up around a lot of Jewish tradition. And so there were a lot of similarities in our culture. You know, I always joke that and it would always seem to be this way, that some of my parents' really close friends were Jewish tradition, because they were very close to us in the ways that they celebrated family and things like that. So it's, you know, 8 days of celebration, and it's, and if you want to read the Book of Maccabees, you can. And you know, you can explain the menorah and the candles and all of that. It's just another example of God's faithfulness and love. And, you know, you can also talk about the differences in our faiths. And, you know, another that we see around a lot, and some of us get annoyed because there seems to be more focus on this, especially in the secular school system, than there is on the holiday of Christmas, and that's Kwanzaa. And it's a holiday that honors American or African heritage, and it ends with a large feast. And again, we need to let our children understand and experience these different holidays and traditions. And it's beautiful when you understand that and the true meaning behind it, you know, the importance of the African-American culture. You can learn more by reading books and speaking with people who celebrate the holiday and researching more. Again, holidays are time of family, friends, food, right? And it's just a time to also look at not only the traditions that you create with your children, but also of extending your love and joy for each other to others around you who are less fortunate. And I want to thank you guys so much for listening today. And again, the show notes are on the website. You can find them at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, episode 234, and it's all about the true meaning of the holidays. Take care, God bless, and I will be sharing with you some more soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.